Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we are doing this sermon series on the Reformation, today we're looking at grace alone. And I'm coming up here to our Savior Lutheran Church, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Well, last week we looked at scripture. Today we're looking at grace. I bet you can figure out what we're going to talk about next week. But these are important. But there's five solas, not just those three. The fourth one is by Christ alone. And then the last one is to the glory of God. And that's what we're going to talk about on Reformation Sunday. Now, I asked you last week about the definition for grace. Anybody look it up this week? Okay, let me share this with you. Oxford Dictionary of the English Language looked it up. There are 22 meanings for grace. All right, now, it's very important that when we use a word, we know what it means. And that's one of those things, it's like saying love. Well, what do you mean by love? You know, it's one of those, Greeks had five different words for love. There's physical love, there's love of your neighbor, love of your brother, there's the unrequited love that Jesus had for us, agape, Philadelphia, phileo. So when we look at those arrows, it's one of those things. But, you know, we can look at that and have some fun with it. But what meaning do you use in English when you say the word? What meaning do you say in English when you use the word grace? See what I'm getting at? All right, so let's look at some of these and see if we can figure it out. All right, now, it lists some idioms. But for the grace of God, under less fortunate circumstances. Well, what does that mean? Well, here's an example. But for the grace of God, that brick that just fell from the roof would have hit me on the head. Now, that's the word grace. But is that the word grace meaning that we're looking for? Probably not. By the grace of God, thankfully, fortunately, by the grace of God, I won't have to deal with tax returns for another year. I think there's another one. You can fall from grace. In theology, it means to relapse into sinner disfavor, to lose favor, be discredited. He fell from grace when his boss found out he had lied. I can imagine that happened. We have the grace to, well, be kind. Would you have the grace to help me, please? Can you see that grace means a lot of interesting things, doesn't it? Well, if you're in somebody's good or bad graces, you're regarding with favor or something, right? It's a wonder that I have managed to stay in her good graces this long. I wonder if they were talking about when somebody was married. With bad grace, reluctantly, grudgingly, he apologized, but he did so with bad grace. Yeah, you apologized, but did you mean it? Okay. With good grace, the opposite, willingly, ungrudgingly. She took on the extra work with good grace. Still not what we're looking for, is it? Well, looking at all the idioms and the meanings, what is grace? How would we define it? Well, the thing that led me to really understand this is grace, just by itself, can be both a noun and a verb. All right, well, we know a noun is a person, place, or thing. So when we say grace, we're talking about a thing, right? How can it be a verb? Because it has to have an action. Good. Who's doing? God's doing. And that's the thing, is this grace that we talk about is what God does for us. Make sense? It's God's action that brings this to us. You know, so it's one of those things, how do we tell? Well, part of the thing is coming up with a meaning. If you weren't getting this, I had a lot more of these, but I don't think I need to do them. Last week I talked a little bit about arrows. How do arrows go from us to God or from God to us? Come on, this is your test from last week. Will you listen? From God to us. Okay. So the action of lending or adding grace comes from God to us, not from us to God. All right, so if we're going to come up with a meaning for grace, here's what it really means. Forgiveness, redemption, charity, and blessings. Let me go through those again. Forgiveness, grace. Redemption, grace. Charity, grace. Blessings, grace. You'll notice that all three of our hymns today deal with blessing. Okay? There's a reason for that in my madness. Because that's what we're talking about today. Redemption. Folks, we talked about that Jesus redeemed us on the cross, right? He brought us grace by that. Redemption comes from the word meaning to pay a bill by ransoming. All right, so we were lost, right? We were in bondage to sin, and we cannot free ourselves. We just said that this morning. Okay, so what happens is Jesus paid the price for that bondage on the cross. He redeemed us by paying that. Okay? And by doing that, he brought us God's grace. You following me on this? So, again, grace comes from God to us. It's the action of God in our lives. Now, we sort of have an understanding now of what grace means. Now, the obvious, I think, reading for today is that Ephesians 2, and I actually had that picked for a while, but I thought, no, I'm going to read the other ones we did this morning, especially that beginning of John, because I think it's so beautiful, and it just puts everything in perspective. But Ephesians 2, it's 4 through 12, I believe. And no, you don't have it in there. But listen to this, because learning and faith come from faith comes from hearing. How many times does Paul tell us in the New Testament? 3 or 4. Faith comes from hearing. So I want you to listen to this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. As Lutherans, you ever heard that before? And this is not by your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Folks, these things are very important, aren't they? So let's look at this. God so loved the world. We were dead in our trespasses, so what does he bring us? Forgiveness. Grace. Okay? We have been saved by grace through faith. Mercy. It's not our doing, it is God's. Are we saved by works? No. I mean, Paul's very clear about that, isn't he? Nope, it's not a result of works so that no one can boast. I love the word boast in Greek. It's klaxon. Okay, especially if you've been in the Navy, you know, you hear those, you know, foghorns, that's a klaxon. Okay, so when you're boasting, Paul is saying, we know what you sound like. But boasting is self-serving, isn't it? It's not doing our neighbors any good. Yeah. You can just see the bird preening, can't you? You know, look at me, I'm so important. No, we don't do that as Christians. We receive as Christians. Well, that brings us to the Reformation. All this was a prelude to that. Our readings today, both in the Old Testament and the Epistle lesson, and the epistle actually means letters, okay? Epistle, I'm going to give you another Greek word today, epsis, which is where that comes from. Epsis in Greek means the hope. How many of you knew that? So all of Paul's letters, his epistles, bring us hope. Okay. Now, it went on and on today. Was Abraham circumcised? I'm looking at Gene, because how many times did you say this more? In Greek, it's apobustia. It's a great word.
I probably would have preferred to say that.
Well, we get the point, so to speak. Anyway. But, folks, when we talk about this, was Abraham circumcised? No. But yet, he was declared righteous by God before there was a Jewish religion. How did that happen? God, that was too quick, Jean. I wanted them to think about that. She said, by God's grace. And she's right. But he was a worthy man. And he recognized people. There's a story about Melchizedek, which I'll preach on sometime. It's also in Genesis. Who was the king of Salem. Okay? And Melchizedek, it actually means the king. Okay? Melech. Salem. Of peace. He was the king of peace. Anyway, you look through it, and we think it's the pre-incarnate Christ, but that's a sermon for another day. But as we look at these kind of things, Abraham knew him as a priest of God before there was a religion. Do you need to have a religion to know God? No. Abraham was declared righteous before there was a religion. Now, God made a covenant with him, didn't he? And he said, afterwards, all of your male children will be circumcised. Because it's the outward version of the covenant. Boy, can you imagine back then for a man to have to go through that without painkillers? I had a real good friend who was a band director. Had to have it done when he was in his late 50s. He said, I've had a quadruple bypass. He said, I'd rather have that again. Yeah. So I think it puts things in perspective. But we're having some fun because the whole reading was about circumcision today. But there's a reason for that, because it's a covenant. It's the outward sign of the relationship with God. But Abraham had that relationship before there was an outward sign. He had that relationship before there was a Jewish religion. He was a worthy man who believed in God, and he was declared righteous for that by the grace of God. And in this case, it's what he received from God, the verb, the action coming from God to him. That's why we spent so much time on that this morning, because if I had just said that, I'd probably sit here and have people going, you know, I don't get that way. I think you do now. All right, redemption, mercy, forgiveness, charity, and blessing. Aren't those all nice? Around 400 AD, two men of the church, St. Augustine of Hippo and Pelagius. Big argument. In fact, Augustine had actually switched from mainline Christianity to become Pelagian. And then he started reading the scriptures again. He said, no. All right, so what's the argument? Well, you can probably figure out where we're going. With Pelagian, where does your salvation come from? Works. With Augustine, where does it come from? Grace. You know, it's not a new argument in the church, folks. I mean, we're talking between 300 and 400 AD when this was going on. It was because of Pelagius that we have the Nicene Creed. Okay, which we say every other Sunday now. Okay? Because we make a statement about what we believe in our creeds. It's a statement of our faith. Now, let's go forward 1,000 years. From 400 to 1400. Argument still raging in the church. For you folks that were former Roman Catholics, were you saved by grace or saved by your works? Okay, that argument is still being fought, isn't it? But yet, what does Scripture say? It is not by works you have been saved. Well, you got to remember that these reformers, you know, we call it the Reformation, but reformers, that's who these guys are, were all Roman Catholic priests. And they're putting their foot down and said, no, we believe in Scripture. Last week, Scripture alone, I think we spent a lot of time on that so you understood. Okay? And today we're talking about grace. They work together. All of these work together. It is by grace through your faith that you have been saved. Where do we find out about that? In the Word of God. You know, so as we start looking at these things, it's all intertwined. But the Catholic Church again said no. And remember that a lot of things that happened in the Reformation were the sale of indulgences. So it's not that you could ask for forgiveness, which is one of the aspects of grace. You could pay for forgiveness. Oh, there's going to be a great party tonight. And Gene, there's going to be a lot of male strippers there tonight, and a lot of booze, and a lot of rich food. And I know you want to go, but yet it's the mortal sin, isn't it? But if you pay me $1,000, I'll give you a sheet of paper that says anything you do tonight's not a sin. Are you laughing at that? They laughed. Some men laughed at it, but they got mad at it back then. That's what an indulgence is. So you can go out and indulge yourself. Now, is this totally out? No. The Pope before St. Francis, or Pope Francis, started selling indulgences again. You know, we're still fighting these battles 500 years later. But, again, the Reformer said, no. You can't buy your way out of sin. You can ask for forgiveness, and by God's grace, it's freely given. And you freely receive it. As I was teaching the catechism class, by the way, that's after church today. If you want to join us, you know, we're walking through the Christian faith. It's a lot of fun. Bubbles, can I ask you to come up here for a second? I'm going to do with you the same thing I did with Bev. No, you're not in trouble. I'm putting you to work. All right, God's grace. Okay, put your hand up. All right, I'm going to take, here. Thank you, my keys. This is God's grace. Is that how you get God's grace? Okay, because there's an action on her part, right? And grace is what? An action on God's part. So that doesn't work. Welcome to God's grace. What is she doing today? Nothing. But yet, well, you don't even have to do that. It's there. But you have to receive it. Thank you, God. You see what this is? Okay. And this is the thing that all of us, I think, have trouble with. Because we come up with forgiveness. I'm not worthy. How can I ever be forgiven? I mean, every time you hear that on TV, you just ask for forgiveness. And it's freely given. Thank you. Give Bubbles a big round of applause for joining us this morning. For receiving grace. And it's something that she has all the time. How many times have you seen this on TV? You know, somebody says, oh, I've been sinning. All right, well then say 3 Hail Marys and 2 Our Fathers and take 2 aspirin to me in the morning. That's Roman Catholic. How is that going to earn you grace? Okay. That's penance. Okay. One of the things that we do as pastors in the Lutheran Church is we go through the Catholic Catechism for pastors, for priests, and we study it. Because, as I was teaching last week, we're Catholic. We're not Roman Catholic. With me? And so when we look at penance, what you have to do to earn forgiveness, that's something we don't believe in. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say. And again, this is why one of the reasons before the Reformation, by grace alone. It's God's grace in our lives that does this for us. Thank you, Lord. You just receive it. It's freely given. What did John teach us today? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Now, think about this for a second. Was there law for Abraham? No. But men added 513 laws after that that you had to keep for salvation. But yet, Abraham was saved through the gospel, not through the law. Okay, move forward to the Reformation. Again, we have salvation coming through what we do rather than a free gift from God. And the Reformers finally put the foot down and said, no, listen to Paul. By grace you have been saved, not by works, and do not boast. With me? Now, we talked last week at the Christian thing that Luther hated the name Lutheran. Hated it with a passion. And it's one of those things, we're Catholic. But I want you to think about this today. Is the word Lutheran in the Bible? Yeah, it actually is. Yeah. Luthero is the word Luthero, Lutheros, Lutheran. You know what it means? Freedom. And so when God gives you grace, you have the freedom to accept it. Doesn't have anything to do with our religion, but it means freedom. Isn't that a wonderful word? I think so too. When Paul talks to us about that freedom that we have earned, not through what we did, but what he did on that cross, what a blessing it is. This is most certainly